This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis, and to my right is John. And today we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. Why do we give thanks? What is gratitude? What does it look like? And so, yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of Christmas movies out there.
Too soon.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving movie?
Oh, oh man.
Do they even make Thanksgiving movies? The only one I can think of is the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving one.
And that's a good one.
Is Uncle Buck? I don't know if I've ever seen it, though.
Is Uncle Buck a Christmas movie or a Thanksgiving movie?
It's been a long time.
It's a bad one, too, so I don't know. It's the only one I can think of.
How about The Blind Side?
That's a Thanksgiving movie?
I don't know if it's a Thanksgiving movie, but when they pick them up, they bring them to Thanksgiving. Yeah. So there's Thanksgiving depicted, at least.
Close enough. We'll go with The Blind Side is my favorite then.
All right.
Because I can't think of any favorite others. Well, it's just like not a holiday that they do a lot of movies for.
Yeah, there's no like Hallmark Thanksgiving channel.
Year round, yeah.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. Any guesses who said that?
Abraham Lincoln.
Very good guess, but no.
That would have been my guess. I don't know. I thought, okay, Abraham Lincoln, but it didn't sound flowery enough for him.
Yeah, it's G.K. Chesterton.
Oh. That was my second guess.
That was your second guess. Very good. Well, what does it mean to be thankful? What does the Bible say about this? I think one of the passages that I think is really depicting of this is found in Luke chapter 17. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem, and he's on the way, and he runs into 10 lepers. Leprosy was kind of a catch-all back then for a description of a number of skin conditions. Not necessarily what we would think of today, like the what is the leprosy?
Eczema?
No, it's like Hansen's disease or something like that, isn't it? Isn't that what we think of leprosy to be?
Sure.
Okay, let's go with that.
I don't know.
Well, the treatment and outcome for them, though, there wasn't really any treatment, and you were cast out of the city. You couldn't worship. You were socially unacceptable because you were contagious. You were unsecured because you're living outside of the city. And so, I mean, just a lot of horrible things happened. And these guys approach Jesus and beg him to cure them. And they cry out from a distance. And because there was actually some legal things that were going on during that time. And there was like, it was like a quarantine. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, there's like this legal distance. So they're yelling to him to do this. And I think what's interesting is that he doesn't even have to touch them. He just heals them. Mm-hmm. And pretty fascinating, but a pretty incredible moment in their lives, you would think, right? Like they continue on. For some of them, that was the first time they went to say hey to mom or, you know, hello to dad and all of those things. And pretty incredible, pretty amazing moment in their life, but only one of them returns. And I think that's what's so fascinating in the story is that only one returns to thank Jesus. And I mean, he just drops down and he is just giving him thanks. And I one of the things that I think is so interesting in the story is that thankfulness is a response.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to think about thankfulness. It's not just a turkey dinner, which I don't even know why. Why do we eat turkey at Thanksgiving?
Well, I don't know. Doesn't it go back to like the pilgrims? I know they were eating venison and stuff, I think was more the staple meat, but I think turkey was involved.
That's how the story goes that I remember from elementary school.
Funny looking hats with belt buckles is all I know about.
Yeah, I don't know why we eat turkey, but it's not about turkey and stuffing and gravy and all of those things are good and they're the bounty and it's a celebration of the harvest and all of those things that you can think of and that God has sustained us for another year. It's really a response. Mm-hmm. And Thanksgiving was always designed for prayer, actually, and to give thanks. It was a time of of really going, God, you've made it. If you remember the pilgrims, I mean, most of them weren't even, you know, they had lost their families.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's only, I don't even remember. Like, we should probably study history a little
Boy,
bit.
Boy, yeah. Before we jump into these things, I can't even think of a Thanksgiving movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how many, it wasn't many, like 50 survived or something like that. It wasn't many left. And so what a response in that moment to give thanks. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It says that we give thanks when things are going well. Mm-hmm. And we also give thanks when things are not going well, because God is the giver of both of those. And he's a sustainer in both of those.
Yeah. Makes me think of that that song from a while ago, Blessed Be Your Name. You know, the bridge of that song says, you give and take away, you give and take away, and still I choose to say, blessed be your name. It's a when things are good and when things are bad kind of a thing. And it is interesting that you bring up the pilgrims. I hadn't thought much about the fact that, yeah, they had some things to celebrate, but they had a lot, I would almost say more even, to be sad about, or struggles that they were dealing with. There's a lot of them that were probably mourning, and they still decided we're gonna mark this with a time of thankfulness. It's powerful.
It is. And you know, you look at the story of the lepers, and only the one guy comes back and just throws himself at the feet of Jesus. What stands out to me is like what Jesus' response was to that. I don't know if we hit that part, but he says, rise and go, your faith has made you well. And that was Luke 17:19. Like, Jesus didn't just heal his physical condition. That's what he was thankful for. But at that moment, there's also a restoration of that man's soul too. And as we were talking about the other passages throughout scripture that say, give thanks to the Lord. Psalms are filled with, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. His steadfast love never changes. He's good. His mercy is everlasting. All those things, like in the situation with the pilgrims, like we may feel like we're in that spot. We don't have a lot to be thankful for, a lot to be grateful for surrounding us. The table might not be full. The bank account might be running on E, but we have a God who's given us that gift of eternal life. And I think we take that for granted a lot, of just understanding the gift of salvation. Like, we do have something to be grateful and thankful for to God.
Yeah. I think some of it's perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did the other nine not come back?
You know what I like to think?
What?
They were just so excited, they just forgot.
Well, which is an interesting thing for us. If you make $25,000 a year, which we all do, mm-hmm. You're in the top 10% of earners in the world.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
When I read that, I went, no way.
Yeah.
No way. Mm-hmm. No, but it's true. I think the average income is like 18,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy if you think about mm-hmm. that. And so, you know, and if you make 50,000, you're in the top 5%. We're top 5%ers. Woo woo. Thanksgiving is always, it's a response, and then Thanksgiving is also an action. The guy comes back, and the man not only turned back in response to Jesus' grace, but he is also praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Thankfulness isn't just like a thought. It's not just a feeling, but it's an action. There's something happening in that moment that allows us to this guy to turn back and know that he needs to do this.
I think the feeling of appreciation, it's a good feeling. It's not bad to have that. But when it's not followed through with an action, then you're not hitting that gratitude mark. You know, if you're just, I think of it like, if you're like these guys, you're excited about what happened. Yahoo, we're running around visiting mom and giving her hugs and grandma and all that stuff. But when you don't come back to it with the action part, then it looks self-centered and arrogant from the outside. And it really is. It turns an inward focus then, because they did nothing to achieve healing. It was all mm-hmm. Jesus' work.
Right.
And so if you don't let your heart be motivated by those feelings, because we talk about this, feelings are feelings. They're not factual. This case, if you're feeling gratitude for being healed, that is a fact of your feelings. But you've got to take that step and go and thank God. Thank, you know, whatever, whoever gave you a gift, and appreciate it. Because otherwise, God's not going to know. I mean, he can know, because he's God. But if you get a gift from grandma and you don't tell her thank you, but you love it, she doesn't know that you love it.
Well, right. And it's also just, it just seems like, you know, if you just took it to, like, if you were in the hospital and these guys had an incurable disease, and so they have this incurable disease, and you know they're going to be separated from their family, separated from society. They're going to die alone. Mm-hmm. And he cures that, and only one comes back and thanks him, which is just mind blowing as we think about it. Because if that happened to me in the hospital, I'm giving the dude at least a high five, at least a high five, right? Yeah. Like. You know, and now they can't.
Yeah.
Without losing a finger. Right? Like, so, like, the inactivity shows something about where they're at. I think they're grateful, but I think there's, like, a selfishness in that. And I think there's a selfishness in us when we're not grateful. Like, God came to earth to save us. Like, and I think we forget that on a daily basis. We don't enter into, like, we were bound for a terminal illness known as sin, and God came and he gave us the cure, which is Jesus, which is, I mean, every day we should be at least high-fiving, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this might be a question that we don't have an answer to. Just as I'm looking at this passage, I'm wondering, you know, it says that only the one guy came back, and it makes a note in Luke that he was a Samaritan, which at the time, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along, and the Samaritans were looked down on. You know, there's the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus tells, you know, that kind of drives this home too. But he tells them to go to the priests, and then only the foreigner, the Samaritan, comes back. So does that mean that the other nine were Jews, and they, you know, they go to the priests, and did the priests say something to them? You know, because they probably have more influence over them than the Samaritan. I'm just wondering if there's something to that. Like, did something take away their desire to show gratitude?
Well, you know, one of the things, if you go back into the historical account, if somebody had a disease or something happened, like the guy who is blind, they're like, who sinned?
Yeah.
Him or his mother, right, or father. And so maybe they're coming back going, yeah, I knew I didn't do it.
right. Innocent. Just proved I'm a good person.
Yeah, I'm a good person. And so maybe that's kind of their posture, mm-hmm, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfulness, though, in the midst of that is really a choice. And
it,
regardless of whether or not that was the case in their mind, it's still a choice to go back, and it's still a choice to make an effort to say thank you. And it just amazes me that none of them came back. And I don't understand that part. But then I think about my own day-to-day basis, mm-hmm, and man, how many times have I just forgotten about what God has done. Even the very breath that we have in our lungs today is given to us by God, and he's the one sustaining, he's the one holding all this thing all together. Yep. And how many times do I forget that on a daily basis? So as much as I want to just point fingers at the nine, I think I'm often with the nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part. I mean, it's, and I would say this is like, if you watch a lot of bad TV, you become immune to some things. You can become immune to good things too. And when we are surrounded by the goodness of God and we don't reflect and come back with that heart posture of gratitude, that joy, that thankfulness, like we just start to, it becomes, you know, kind of sublime. It's there, but we're not paying attention to it. So it's not central focus to what we're thinking about. And so when we start to make efforts to think about those things, like, what am I thankful for that God did in each and every day? Because there are things that he does. There are fingerprints all around of the goodness of God and his promises that we see happen. You know, that's something that, not necessarily a Thanksgiving tradition, but like a prayer in the evening at bedtime tradition with my kids. I'm like, what were the good things that you saw God do today? And, you know, I don't let them get by with just the, I don't know. I'm like, there was something good today. Did you laugh about something? Did you have a good talk with a friend? Did you, you know, whatever it is, like, God's goodness and his faithfulness is around us, and we have to open our eyes to see it.
Yeah, I think some people, if you ask them what are they thankful for, if we open that question up and we had all our many listeners call in right now, I think what we would get is answers like, I'm thankful for family. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for, you know, some people would say, I'm thankful for my new car or my new hunting rifle or whatever, some mm-hmm. material good type buck. Of thing.
What's first that? Buck.
My first buck. There you go. I'm thankful for my friends or my job. But, like, I think about my own life and somewhat of a charmed life. Like, I mean, of course there's been struggles, there's been hurts and there's been pains, but on a day-to-day basis, I don't live in the midst of turmoil. I don't live in the midst of poverty. I don't live in the midst of, you know, a lot of other things that could be possible. What is the greater thing that I can see in the midst of all of this in God's hand in my life? Even if I lived in all of those things, would I still be able to give thanks? Would I still be able to go do a Kardashian on blast without having, you know, what is that little one worth now? $1 billion or something?
Something like that.
Is it Kendall? I don't know what her name is. How did we get on the Kardashians? I don't know. What's wrong with you, Travis?
It's your pop culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, I think this is why Thanksgiving becomes, and I think Christmas gets wrapped up in this too. It's a season where we are queued up to remember and recognize and hopefully talk about the things that we're grateful for. You know, a lot of people have probably similar traditions that my family has where we sit around the Thanksgiving dinner table and we go around and everybody has to share something that they're thankful for. And, you know, there's on the one side, you can go, okay, well, what is this forced? Like, oh, well, now is the time where we're going to be thankful. So there's some of that. But I also think, you know, it's an important rhythm in our year that is part of how I look at it. It's a time where we come back and go, oh, yeah, we really have a lot to be grateful for. And you know, we kind of cued into this a little bit in the beginning of our conversation here. It's not all about just being, you know, hashtag blessed and everything's great.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be that. If you have things like that you can be thankful for, that's wonderful, but we can still be thankful even in the midst of struggle, even in the midst of need.
Yeah. Like think about like, obviously we're not guaranteed tomorrow, but we feel pretty secure in the idea that tomorrow's mm-hmm. going to happen,
right?
The sun is going to go down and the sun is going to come up. Hayden and I were sitting in the deer blind and it was a little bit chilly. And I said to him, I said, what if we had to like stay here overnight? And we have, mind you, we have a heater in this thing. And he goes, we'd be really cold. Uh-huh. There's some holes in this thing. And there are some holes in it. But I was just thinking, even like the security of a house, whatever that, you know, a structure that you can live in and be in. And I think just some of those things, just seeing the reality of actually how good, like snow is here and more is coming. And I'm not really that worried about it. Like I have a snowblower, actually have a Honda 13 horsepower, beautiful machine with tracks on it.
Tracks. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hashtag blessed.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about this morning. I was listening to the news and they were talking about, I don't know if you guys heard about the, and this is going to date our recording time here, but the missile that accidentally got dropped in Poland. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I mean, just it just makes me think like there are people right now in our world who aren't really sure about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, and I also know because, you know, we know some people who have been connected to folks in Ukraine. There are followers of Jesus in Ukraine in that situation who are still grateful and still thankful.
Yeah. And I think with the hashtag blessed kind of thing, we equate thankfulness or blessings with joy. That's not always the case. There's a deep rooted, deep seated joy when you're connected with God in a grace salvation relationship with Him. But like you can have a little or a lot or nothing at all, and you can still see people throughout that spectrum. Jenny from the block. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to see if you were going to catch that.
Yeah, I did.
But you still see people that have nothing and just dire circumstances that are thankful to God. And then you see people who have blessings upon blessings material wise that could give a toot less about it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think Thanksgiving is actually kind of a difficult, but I think you're right. There needs to be rituals within mm-hmm. our life, whether it be getting up in the morning and just thanking God for the day that you're about to have, whatever that may bring that he's going to walk with you, whether that be being thankful for relationships you have, whether they're good or bad, that he's sustaining the very life of those people also.
Yep.
And all of those things are connected that you have. You know, we pray at meals at our house like a lot of people do, but even those sometimes seem trite. Like we get to eat, like our refrigerators are pretty full. Mm-hmm. We have freezers. We have two refrigerators and two freezers. Three freezers. And they're like, oh, where are we going to put this when you start? You know, so like we have an abundance of food. We're not in this place where we're asking, where is our next meal coming from? We're in a totally different category and we miss that often, I think.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time it's like, I don't really like, you know, this meal or I don't prefer this. But it's still sustaining.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the overall idea with thankfulness. When you start to put that into practice, when you thank God in the lean times and the bumper crop times, like your heart just begins to have that posture consistently.
Yeah, I think Thanksgiving brings us to a place where we vocalize what we should be vocalizing every day. I love the story of Lazarus. Lazarus, come out of the tomb. Mm-hmm. He stinketh. Don't tell him to come out of the tomb. And Jesus does it anyway. But at the end of that, he says, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Jesus didn't need to talk to the Lord out loud. But he did it for mm-hmm. those around him. And I think that's the other part or the other chunk of Thanksgiving. It's not only for us. It's also for the one who is we're thanking, but it's also for those around us to push into that.
Yeah.
That spirit of Thanksgiving. Well, hopefully you have just an incredible Thanksgiving and that God blesses you and keeps you throughout the holidays and that you enjoy time with friends and family and that you'll just have a wonderful time. But just remember that God is the one who has given and God is the one who has made the sun come up and go down and all of the goodness that he has provided. And just say that out loud to someone. Thanks for listening. This is good news you can use.
Hey, if you guys liked what we chatted about today, or if you didn't, you can always email us and let us know. If you've got any recommendations for topics on upcoming episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can shoot us an email, shoot me an email, travis@evangelup.org. You can find other Pearls and Swine podcast episodes if you search out Evangel Houghton on your device, and you can always find those at our website, evangelup.org.